Okay, let me make sure. I think I'm ready to go here. So welcome. Great to have you here tonight. Does that sound loud to you? Okay. Just to me, I guess. Anyway, thanks for coming. It's good to begin this again this fall and go through a new series. But let's begin our time with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are very grateful for your word to us. We thank you for what it teaches us, how it transforms us, and Lord, how it tells us that you do love us. You do care about the things that we're going through, and you do desire to use us in this world. And I do pray, Lord, as we look at this series here this year, that you would do that. That you would use us, and pray that it would be honoring to you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, as many of you already know, I introduced this topic on Sunday with a riddle, and quite a few of you came up to me afterwards, and you guessed it. It wasn't intended to be a difficult riddle, but here it is again. The topic that we're looking at is one of the most important tasks of the believer. It is one of the most neglected tasks of believers. And therefore, historically, because believers tend to want to neglect this, it's one of the least desired and least attended Bible studies of the believer. What's your guess? What is it?
Prayer.
Okay, that is a very good guess, but it's wrong. Evangelism. Yeah, the actual sharing of the good news. So there are a number of things that obviously would fit that little riddle that I had. Prayer was another, probably the second most given back to me as far as the answer to it. But really, sharing the gospel, it is... It's kind of scary, isn't it? It can be. But looking at this riddle again, it is one of the most important tasks given to the believer. Why is that? Why is it important?
So we're called to do it.
Okay, we're called to do it.
That's what
Sean? Okay, yeah. This is your mission. This is the task that I'm giving you as my children. Anything else, Joan? Did you have something? I thought I heard you. Okay, all right, yeah. All right, yep, the Great Commission. All right, so it is also one of the most neglected tasks of the believer. Why? Okay, the fear aspect, Sandy? Okay. Okay. Yeah, there is that fear element, and coupled with that is that, I guess you could even say, fear of rejection. And, you know, we share it. In fact, some of the first people that we probably shared the gospel with after we placed our faith in Christ was those nearest and dearest to us. And then to have them tell us, I don't believe that. That's hard to hear. And I think part of what we're going to look at through this series is probably something to emphasize right now is we have not been called to save anybody. Okay, we've been called to deliver a message and take those opportunities to do so, regardless of how many times we have to do it. I do not know how many times the gospel was shared with me before I received it, before I believed it. And my older brother, Darren, he might know at least how many times he shared it with me. But anyway, it was probably quite a few. So it is a neglected task. There is that fear element to it. What else might stop us as God's children from sharing the gospel? Sean. Okay.
It's just so easy to pass on by and go to my grocery and go.
Okay. And I'm going to do my best to kind of repeat some of these answers just because we are recording. But yeah, you don't live with eternity in our heart is how you put it. We're not looking at the long-term picture. We're going through our day looking at the short term. So it's not foremost in our mind. What else? Gary.
I think a lot of people are hesitant when you don't have a good scriptural knowledge where you can just go, oh, that's Matthew 24:12, this is that.
Okay.
And you're afraid to share because you don't know scripture that well.
Okay, so afraid to share because you don't think you know scripture that well. And part of the things, one of the sections we're going to look at through this series, in fact, the first one, is to get some of that background, build a little bit of knowledge. However, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you know how to communicate to someone else how to do it. You already know it because you've done it. Okay? It's just like getting directions to a town. All right? We receive the directions. We do it. Now, all of a sudden, we're an expert of sorts. We know how to do it. We've done it before. And it's the same with sharing the gospel. However, that mindset of thinking, I don't know enough, I don't have all the scriptures memorized. Well, here's the truth of the matter. You never will know it all, okay? You're never going to have every scripture memorized that you should in order to share with it. You're always going to run into someone that has a question that you may not be equipped to answer, and that's okay. That's okay. All right, so third part of our riddle was historically it's one of the least desired and attended Bible studies or lessons by the believer. Why? Cindy? It's a little convicting, right? It's a little convicting. And you know, even without having the details, we're still commissioned to do it. So the mission, the task is the same. What did you say, Mindy?
You're guilty.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you've a little bit of guilt involved. Any other reasons someone might not come and learn a little bit more?
Well, I think kind of piggybacking on what Sean said there is, I think a lot of times we live thinking that we have a lot of time
okay.
to accomplish all this, and we don't really. So we put it off, we put it on the back burner, and I'll get to it.
Oh, a lack of a sense of urgency about it. Yeah, okay. And so how would that stop a person from coming, or why would that stop a person from coming to, let's say, a setting like this and learning how to do it? Cindy? Okay, all right.
Now if I see people, you know, in church on Sunday, and I've gone to Bible studies about it, I'm now thinking people don't believe that you are supposed to do. It's your job to face accountability.
Okay, a little bit of accountability.
We go through our days, doing our, you know, getting through the day, and sometimes we realize that, oh, we're not accountable.
Okay. On Sunday, my riddle had a little bit of motive, not only in introducing the topic, but perhaps guilting people into coming, okay? And like I said, I'm not above that. I don't feel bad about that because, quite frankly, I'm not ashamed about what we as believers have been called to do. And I, like you, have had those fears. I didn't want the rejection. There are times when I think I don't know enough. So I feel all that, and I'm convicted and guilty right along with you. Okay, just know that. I think one of the reasons that some people don't come to a study like this, and I understand that, just, I'm not saying this so you look around Sunday morning and say, oh, they weren't there and they weren't there. And all right, that's not my point. There are other reasons why people aren't here tonight, legitimate reasons. But I think in one reason a person might not come to a study like this is they might think, I already know it all. Okay, I already know how to share the gospel, so I don't need to. And quite frankly, you know, I think all of us should always be growing. We should always be honing not only the gifts, the spiritual gifts that our Lord has given us, but the talents that He's given us, and become better at communicating His good news to the world. So I already know might be a reason to not come. And then this one you already touched on, and I think this is probably more a more likely reason, is I don't want to know because then I'll have to do it. I don't want any know. I don't because then I'll feel obligated to. You'll put that answer in my mind. I'll hear somebody say something, and then I'm convicted. I got to say something to them, right? All right. But because of the above observations that we've just made concerning these three parts of that little riddle there, I did expect. Well, I won't even say that. All right, we'll just move on. We need to grow in what the Lord has called us to. So I'm very, very glad that you're here tonight. And I would just encourage you that I know there are probably quite a few people that just had other things that they are doing on Wednesday night and can't come. But as you're out and about on Sunday morning, encourage some others to come and grow in their knowledge. That's one of the biggest reasons I did decide on this topic, is because I, like Sean was saying, I get complacent. I needed to be refreshed in this topic. I needed to regain that sense of urgency, because I, like you, I have friends and I have family members that I have shared the gospel with dozens of times. And I need to continue to do it. I need to continue with that sense of urgency. All right. We're actually going to look at, through the course of this series, three explanations of sort. And I'm calling them explanations. But over the course of the next weeks and the next months, we're going to go through three explanations. The first is an explanation of what the gospel is. All right. This will be, we're going to get somewhat deep into scripture, because I think the better we understand what the gospel is, what it consists of, the better equipped we will be to give an answer when a person asks the reason for the hope that is in us. So an explanation of what the gospel is will be the first explanation. Then we'll look at an explanation of how to share the gospel. We'll look at a number of, I guess you could say, methods. However, I don't want us to get too caught up in a method rather than truly sharing just the truth and love of Jesus Christ with people. But we are going to look at how to share the gospel. And then the third explanation will be an explanation of why we should share the gospel. And that's going to come probably, we'll be into spring, I'm sure, before we get to that portion of it. But along with being commissioned to share it, there are lots and lots of reasons when you get right down to it that you and I should be faithfully communicating the love and truth of Jesus Christ with everybody around us. And we're going to look at those reasons. If you have your Bible with you, open up, just to begin with tonight, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I want to look at a passage. Tonight is just going to be introductory material. We're going to lay a little bit of groundwork, a little bit of a basis for everything else we'll cover in the upcoming weeks. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says this, and this is Paul speaking to the believers at Rome. He says, "And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And just starting with this one very simple passage here, looking at it, what are some truths that we learn about the gospel right here in that verse? What are some truths that we learn?
Powerful.
Okay, it is powerful. It is powerful. What else?
It's for everyone.
It is for everyone. Right. It's to be offered to everyone.
It's not Sarah? To be ashamed of, where I tend to be like, oh, I'm not going to tell them because they might think it's this or that. But we're not to be blatant about it because it is powerful.
Okay.
All
right, yeah, we're not to be ashamed. And it's interesting that he uses that word, and I don't know the backstory behind why he may have. Maybe there were people in the church at Rome that were a little bit of ashamed, in particular with the government that ruled at that point in time, and the fact that Caesar was looked at as a god and a desire to be worshipped as God, and I don't know. What else?
For salvation.
What was that, Rich?
It's for salvation.
It is for salvation. All right.
You obtain it by believing it.
Obtain it by believing it, yep.
It's provided by Christ.
It's provided by Christ, and then with that, it is the gospel of Christ that's being shared. And we'll take a look at that gospel, that word gospel here in a minute. But just so you know, and you probably already do, it means good news. So there's lots of good news that we can share, but this specifically is the good news of Jesus Christ. All right. Anything else that we learn from the passage by implication? It isn't stated directly in the passage, but by implication, we learn it.
The Jew needs to hear the word.
All right, the Jew, that actually is stated. Very good. Yeah, the Jew, it's for the Jew and the Greek. Very good. All right. Paul wasn't shamed. Okay.
Paul believed it.
Paul believed it. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't have that on my list. What was that?
That we should share the gospel.
Okay, that we should share the gospel. There's still one more, and I had it on my list because of something I said a few minutes ago. You know, oftentimes when we share the gospel, we're looking at the situation, and I think it's human nature to do this, that if they reject it, they're rejecting us. If they reject it, that we have failed at saving them. And the bottom line is, it isn't up to us to save. The implication I was wanting us to maybe see there is, we're not the power. Okay? It's the gospel. It's the word of God that is the power that saves. Of course, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit himself. But by implication, it's not about us. It's not about us at all. All right. Tonight, I want to spend the rest of our time looking at this overview. And here's the first point concerning this overview. Personal evangelism is the sharing of the gospel. Okay, and I know that's, you know that already. But anyone here have anything really, really good happened for them in the past year? Something really, really good. Ray. Okay, you had something really, really good. All right. I didn't ask you to share it. But you want to, don't you? You do. Because that's what we do with good news. Go ahead and share it.
God brought me back to life.
Yeah, that's right. Beginning of this year didn't look so good for you, Ray. It didn't. Yeah, praise God. Dave, I saw your hand up. You want to share it or no?
Well, I'm not sure if I should. I'm scared. We were blessed with a new home.
Okay, blessed with a new home. Now here's just, I'll just use Ray and Dave as an example here now. Is this the first time that either of you have shared that news? No. All right. And that's what good news is supposed to do to us, right? It's something we should enjoy and we share it over and over and over again. And that's why Paul wasn't ashamed to share it. He has seen the power of it in his own life. He wanted to tell the world, and he wanted them to recognize and receive that power so that they can share it as well. How many times have you shared that story, Ray?
I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, that's
a lot. Okay. Dave, how many times have you shared your story? A lot. Okay. All right. The gospel means good news. And we by nature, we do like to share good news. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I like, it's right at the beginning of the chapter. I like this passage because it's a wonderful summation. A wonderful summation of what the gospel is and really what we're supposed to do with it. So if you're in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. It says there, is Paul again speaking to the church of Corinth now. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now, according to this passage right here, what happened to Paul that compelled him to declare the gospel? Okay, but what happened to Paul that compelled him to preach it in the first place? He received it. Yeah, that's that good news scenario again. Listen to what happened to me. And then he tells them, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." He received the good news and then he shared it. How important did Paul see the sharing of that news? Okay, of first importance is how my translation reads. Anybody here have an NIV? What does the NIV say? Oh, my translation says first of all. What did yours say, John?
First
First importance. I think the NIV, does the NIV say that too? Okay, all right. First importance. It was really the most important thing. It wasn't necessarily the very first thing that Paul said as he met the Corinthians, but it was the most important thing that he said as he talked to them. The gospel means good news. The good news is, and we find it right in the end of this passage, here's the good news right here. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What makes the gospel difficult to share, I think, sometimes, is not everybody sees it as good news. Okay? What about the gospel might seem like bad news to a person?
Change your life.
Ah, okay. All right. All of a sudden, sin exists, doesn't it? And we might have to change some things in our life. What else? Okay, yeah, if I don't, then I have to pay for my sins, right? Anything else come to mind? Not necessarily from this passage, I'm just asking in general. Yeah, that's a good one to bring up. I didn't even think about that as I was going through that, but that's a very real issue in a person's mind, is they think that if I believe this, then that means all of my family members that don't or may never will, they aren't going to receive salvation either, and they won't be where I am. And the flaw in that thinking is they think that whether they believe or not influences the outcome when it doesn't. Okay. If you're following me there, it does influence their outcome, but their not believing doesn't change the fact that without Christ, they have no salvation. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And then, of course, there's the accountability aspect, and I think that comes into play with what a lot of you said already. If I believe this, if I believe this, then I have to admit that I am a sinner. I have to admit that I'm in need of salvation, and I have to admit that there is a payment and accountability involved in my sin. So that is some reasons that people would find it difficult to not only share but believe it. Rich?
Well, when I was young, before Jesus, all had to do with my goals, my friends, what they would think of me, that I thought I couldn't do if I did, all those kinds of things.
Okay. All right. And that was as a believer with your friends or before you trusted Christ?
No, before.
Before you trusted Christ, yeah.
Yeah, I had all these reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, Jim, did you have something?
You say it's no different than a FEMA coming down or something. I mean, it sounds so far out that this man came back from the dead and rose.
For sure, yeah. It's a fantastic, miraculous story, and it is one that one has to believe by faith. But the best part about this story is it's verifiable. It doesn't have to stay a blind faith. But yeah, I see what you're saying there, and that. Even as far as sharing the gospel, sometimes we might not share it because it is miraculous, and we might be talking to someone who doesn't believe in miracles, but that doesn't make it any less true. One other thing on that, and we'll get into this a little bit later, a few weeks out, as we talk about how to share the gospel. But one other thing, the question that prompted all this discussion was, what is it about the gospel message that might cause one to reject the good news? Well, we talked about all of these personal issues and insights. But something else, and again, we'll get into this a bit deeper once we get to how to share the gospel, is sometimes we might communicate the gospel in a way that is bad news rather than good news. There's a lot of distorted gospels around today, okay? And we want to be sure that what we are communicating is the good news as it's portrayed in Scripture. So anyway, we'll get to that at some point. All right. Evangelism means, so we've looked so far, gospel means good news. Good news is Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead. Evangelism means to share the good news, all right? The word as we use it, that word evangelism today in our English language, actually comes from the Greek word that is right in this 1 Corinthians 15 passage. In fact, verse 1 actually says, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you evangelon, which I evangelized to you." That's actually how it reads. And so evangelism means to share that good news. And evangelism is the act of doing it, the act of announcing that good news. Paul says it was of first importance, meaning there was nothing more important that one could possibly share with you than that message. And again, while it's of first importance, doesn't necessarily mean it is the first thing that we say to a person when we meet them, okay? Nice to meet you. I'm Craig Jansen. Christ died for your sins and you're going to go to hell without him. All right, that's not a great greeting, okay? So our theme through this series is personal evangelism. Getting to know a person, even possibly befriending them and developing a relationship with them, a trustworthy relationship with them, so that we do have that open door to sincerely communicate the truth of the gospel with them, and they know us well enough that they know we're sincere about it. Okay, they can know our heart to a degree. So, evangelism or personal evangelism is the sharing of the gospel, and personal evangelism, as we've mentioned already, is commissioned of believers. Let me ask you, are humans perfect communicators? No. That is a major flaw, isn't it? Major flaw. Are there beings that are perfect communicators? Angels. Okay. Angels. In fact, their very name means messenger. All right. God created angels to communicate messages to people. The thing is there are only two places in all of Scripture that I could find. Maybe you can find another one or two, but they're infrequent. There are only two places that I could find, that I'm aware of in all of Scripture, where angels communicate the gospel. Let's look at them. Matthew chapter 1. The first one is in Matthew chapter 1, and it's right before the first advent of Christ. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. In fact, let's go back up to verse 18 and just get the context here. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" There's one place right there where an angel shares a form of the gospel, all right, the good news. The other place is in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, and we're only told that he does share it. We're not told exactly what he shares, okay, if I'm remembering this right. Revelation 14:6, and this is right before the second advent of Jesus. Says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." It does say what he says there, at least part of it. "Saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him the glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water.'" So here we have two times in all of Scripture where God uses beings that were created to be perfect communicators to share the gospel. But between those two times, God has given us that job. Why? What do you think? Why do you think God would give us that job? And I got to tell you, I don't know that I have a definitive answer. I'm just curious what you think. Okay, it strengthens our faith, perhaps even to receive it ourselves and then see God work through us in others receiving it. Gary?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Bible say that God places us above the angels?
Yes, we are above the angels. Yes. All right. I agree with you, but I'm still wondering why and how. How are we better equipped than angels? Dave?
We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
All right. We have God himself residing in us, but we're still flawed beings, and we don't always rely on the Spirit, even when we share the gospel sometimes. All right. Okay. Sum that up so I can repeat it. Okay, our personal testimony is huge. And that's kind of where I was going as I thought about it too. We are speaking, sharing it out of experiential knowledge. It's something we've experienced, we've gained. It is sincere for us. Christ didn't die for the angels. And while they may be the perfect communicators of it, and again, I don't know that this is a definitive answer, but it's certainly one I think that rings true in my own life as I share it. It was John, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I I think he wants us to share the message so we internalize it more.
Okay. So we internalize. Yeah, you know, we, as we share the gospel, we're hearing it again, aren't we? And I don't think that we can hear the gospel enough. I think it's a wonderful thing to hear over and over and over again. Good. Anything else? Gary?
The thought I had was, if God sent angels to tell people of the gospel, that would be kind of like forcing them to believe. I mean, if an angel appeared to you and said, wouldn't you believe anything it says? But God wants us to come to acceptance voluntarily, not
okay.
Kind of a forced nature.
Okay, so okay.
People are a better vessel to do that.
Yeah, he wants us to choose. To choose him just like he chose us. Sandy.
Yeah, I told somebody, a neighbor, she didn't have my words, I was busy about, that she kept saying, now I'm perfect, now I'm perfect, now I'm perfect. Well, I said, oh no, Christ was the only one who was perfect.
Yep.
Don't worry. She said, keep on. Maybe she is.
No, that's, we're actually going to talk about that exact thing, I believe, next week. This perfection aspect that, I should say the perspective that people often have of what perfection is. So anyway, we'll talk, good comment. Other thoughts on this? Sarah?
That we can partake in the blessings of seeing someone come to Christ.
Yeah.
We get to watch them grow, help them grow. And then just being a part of that, that's so, I mean, special.
Yeah. To actually have God use us in somebody else's life. And, you know, that's kind of the direction I was going. It's an experiential knowledge, something we experience. We get to share it and see the fruit of that. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for these good works, that we should walk in them. So yeah, it's a glorious thing. I still don't know why God would use a flawed vessel like me, but he does, and he bears fruit through it. So that is wonderful. All right. Alright, and then angels too, the other thing I had written down here is, well, it goes hand in hand with what we've looked at. They don't have fellowship in the gospel, whereas we do. We are brothers and sisters, have that fellowship, that commonality, that experiential knowledge as a result of it. Just a few verses that talk about that. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. It's that experiential knowledge continues, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:3-5. Paul there says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making mention of you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So there's that camaraderie, that experience that we share. And makes it a very God-glorifying thing to have him use us in that. And then I think another reason that God may have given us this task is he gave man this task because it is for man. It's not for angels. We're running out of time. All right. I just gave you that last little sub point there. I think God gave this task to man because it is for man. Just a few, I'll just give you the references for those of you that may be writing some of these things down. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, of course, that is the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then Mark 16, 15 repeats it. Luke 24, 45 through 47 talks about this commission. And then John 20, 21 is kind of a reference to that commission. All right, so we have looked at the fact that personal evangelism is the sharing of the gospel. We've looked at the personal evangelism is commissioned of believers. And then lastly tonight, personal evangelism, no, not lastly tonight, second, third to lastly tonight, personal evangelism must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In fact, turn to this passage, Acts chapter 1. I hope you're familiar with it. But Acts chapter 1 is a good reminder of why we can be effective at all in sharing the gospel. And it's not because of us. It's because of the Spirit of God in us. Acts 1:8. Is Jesus speaking just before his ascension back into heaven. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in all Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And of course, the reason the church began, the reason the church was born, is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So personal evangelism must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Personal evangelism is personal. The study that we're going to look at is going to cover, again, several ways to share the gospel. But our focus is going to be on one-on-one. Us and someone else, all right? A personal way. I really believe that was the Lord's preferred way. While he did preach to very large crowds, all right, the apostles themselves came to believe in him only after 3 years of personal contact with him. Most of those who came to believe in Jesus after his resurrection were those. Shouldn't say most of those. Many of those who came to personal faith were those that had seen him, followed him, knew him. All right. Even the woman at the well in John chapter 4, while that is a very, it's kind of a cold contact scenario. After her meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, and her running back into the town, she tells the people there, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could it be the Christ? So even in that brief encounter, it was very personal. She felt like Jesus already knew her. And of course, he's the Lord. He did. All right. But what we're going to focus on is the personal aspect of evangelism. It is personal. Just out of curiosity, while the voting and majorities don't determine truth, how many of you here trusted Christ through a TV evangelist? You heard the gospel on TV and you trusted Christ. All right, nobody. How many of you came to trust Christ through a street evangelist? You heard the gospel preached out on the street, and you trusted Christ. All right, nobody. How many of you came to trust the Lord in a setting like this, in a church? All right, handful of you. And that's a little more personal, isn't it? All right? Because you probably knew the person who is sharing the gospel with you, and they probably knew you a bit. And last one, how many of you came to trust Christ through a one-on-one setting? All right. The other half of you. Okay. The other half of you. Anyone through something I didn't mention? All right. Yeah. Well, Mitch. Mitch and Rich.
It was because of the people that were witnessing to me, but it didn't happen on my own.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the gospel had been shared with you, but the actual transaction when you trusted Christ, it was just you and the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that with you, Mitch, too?
Kind of a whimsy that says, I was drugged to church. Well, we were drugged to church. And so we went to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, youth group, and a whole bit, but it didn't make any impact on it until there was the crisis situation that I knew I had nowhere to turn.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and I don't think that's uncommon, really, you had all the information already.
Yeah,
you had the head knowledge.
Probably get the gospel message better than some of the other kids in the youth group.
Okay, but then in a moment of brokenness, that's when the transaction actually took place. Very cool. Very neat. All right. I just want you to know that as I listed all of these different scenarios, whether it be a fellow who preaches a clear and accurate gospel on television or a street evangelist, I'm not down on those things. I think they can be very effective in certain circumstances, but you are going to find that it's those personal interactions that are going to develop a soil, I guess you could say, and that is biblical, that one would receive the truth of Jesus Christ. So personal evangelism is personal, and I am going to, I've got a bit more here, but I'm going to stop right there and give you your homework. All right. We're going to have a little bit of homework through this, I hope that doesn't deter you from coming back. But here is your homework for this week. And it's going to be really easy this week, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to be praying that God would bring someone into your life that you can get to know. Or maybe you already have that person in your, maybe you've got a number of acquaintances right now that you thought, I really should share the gospel with them, but you haven't. Your homework is to be praying for one or two people that you could start developing more of a relationship with. In fact, I'm just going to put it this way. Pray for one or two people that you're fairly certain they don't know the Lord yet, that you can invite over your house for a dinner, or maybe out to dinner, or just for some sort of gathering, with the goal of just getting to know them better. In fact, what I'd like us to do is over the course of the next week, we'll pray for who those people are. You pray to the Lord to lay on your heart who those people are. And then before the end of the month, invite them over. Invite them out. Do something with them with the sole goal of getting to know them better. In fact, I'll talk about this later on as we expand on this homework a little bit. But in that first encounter, I don't want you to bring up anything spiritual. Unless they do. If they do, fine, go for it. But I don't want you to bring up anything spiritual. I mean, you could share a little bit about where you go to church. I mean, if they ask you questions about yourself, but I don't want you to go into this first encounter, this first meeting with them, with the goal of sharing the gospel. That just doesn't even sound right. I think you understand what I mean. We're wanting to build a little bit of a relationship. We are praying for an opportunity to share it. It may be in that first encounter, but I want the emphasis to be on you getting to know them. Any questions, comments on what we've looked at tonight? All right, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh to the earth to live the perfect and sinless life that only he could live. The perfect and sinless life that we cannot live. Impossible for us. But you sent him, Lord, to live that life and then take our shortcomings, our sins upon him and pay the price, the penalty that we deserve, so that through simple faith, we could receive that gift of salvation, that gift of eternal life, that gift of being reconciled to you and made once again part of your family. Thank you for that tonight. Thank you for that wonderful, factual, truthful experience. And I pray, Lord, that you would lay upon our heart a few people that we could share that with at some point in time. Lord, I pray that you would bring those people into our life, perhaps even into our home this month, so that we could begin to develop a relationship with them, so that we can share your love and your truth with them. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that you would lay upon their hearts, our hearts, who those people might be. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we are dismissed.